Around 50 million years ago, the Indian subcontinent slammed into Eurasia. The impact didn't just create mountains. It changed the planet forever. What rose from that collision became the highest and largest highland on Earth? In this thin air, a unique world took shape. Isolated valleys, sacred peaks, hidden lakes, and spiritual traditions that evolved in near complete separation from the outside world. The Chamdo region in eastern Tibet is where three of Asia's great rivers, the Mekong, Salween, and Yangtze, run side by side through the mountains. They cut through deep gorges and jagged peaks, shaping a landscape both isolated and dramatic. This is Kham, a historic Tibetan region with its own language, culture, and distinct style of monasteries. For centuries, Chamdo marked the start of the Tea Horse Road, an ancient trade route where caravans brought pu'er tea from Yunnan, crossing mountain passes to reach Lhasa. The route carried not only goods, but also culture and belief systems that shaped Tibet's evolution. Today, a different route crosses these same lands. National Highway 318. One of China's longest and most iconic roads. It runs over 5,000 kilometers from Shanghai to the Nepal border. But it's this Tibetan section, through Kham and toward Lhasa, that has earned a near legendary reputation. Sometimes called the Road to Heaven, it crosses more than a dozen high-altitude passes. Travellers pass snow-capped peaks, glacier-fed rivers, and stretches of road lined with prayer flags. Some walk the entire Tibetan section as a form of pilgrimage, turning the journey itself into a kind of devotion. As the road winds deeper into Kham, devotion takes many forms. Along the banks of the Lang Kang River in Markham, a striking landscape appears. Hundreds of salt pans carved into red rock cliffs, forming terraced layers that resemble a geometric tapestry. Believed to be over 1,300 years old, these ancient salt fields are still worked entirely by hand. Each pen is managed by a local family and passed down not as property, but as a kind of spiritual inheritance. Many believe the labour itself is karmic, a duty tied to lineage and place. The salt comes not from the river, but from a sacred hot spring nearby. Before each season begins, families hold rituals and offer prayers, a reminder that the work is both physical and spiritual. In old Tibet, salt from Markham was once more valuable than silver. It was carried by yak caravans across the mountains and traded along the Tea Horse Road. At sunset, the terraces glow pink and white, and workers move slowly across them. Their rhythm quiet and deliberate, shaped by the land and belief. Tibet's permafrost makes building roads and railways incredibly challenging. But on National Highway 318, this struggle becomes part of the journey itself. Nowhere is this more visible than the Nujiang 72 turns. A descent of over 1,000 metres through 72 hairpin bends cut into a near vertical cliff. With no guardrails in many sections and mist rolling in, it's one of the most dangerous parts of the highway. Once used by tea caravans and military convoys, it's now seen as a test of courage and a path some walk to cleanse karma. Mani stones, flat rocks carved with Buddhist prayers, line the roadside like quiet guardians placed to bless the journey and protect those who pass. Not all of Kham's sacred landscapes lie along the highway. Some require a step off the main road and into deeper stillness. Dingqing is a small, windswept town that feels like the edge of the inhabited world, where the road begins to disappear and the land takes over. The air is dry and still. Nothing moves quickly here. Smoke rises from a few rooftops. Prayer flags shift in the wind. Just beyond the town, the landscape transforms. The Dingqing Red Mountains rise without warning. Jagged, rust-coloured peaks, stained by iron and sculpted by wind. Locals hold them sacred. Some believe guardian spirits dwell among the ridgelines. Others see the faces of deities etched into the cliffs. Few have touched this terrain. The paths are faint, traced only by herders and pilgrims who pass in silence. And in this silence, we're heading towards something few ever reach. High above the red cliffs, Zizhu Monastery appears almost impossible. Built directly into the mountainside, it clings to the rock face with no clear path in or out. This is the world's highest monastery. Perched nearly 5,000 metres above sea level. Like many cliffside monasteries in Tibet, its isolation serves a purpose to support deep meditation and retreat. The surrounding peaks are dotted with hermitages, many occupied year-round by monks and nuns who live in silence for months, even decades. This area near sacred mountains has long been a place for solitary practice. Reaching Zizhu isn't easy. In winter, the route often disappears entirely. But for those who make it, the setting strips away all distraction. There is no electricity, no traffic, no noise, only wind and the rustle of prayer flags in this suspended world between earth and sky. As our journey continues, the landscape begins to shift. We descend into a region that feels like a different world. This is Nyingchi, often called the Switzerland of Tibet, for its alpine scenery and unexpected lushness. Sitting at a lower elevation than much of the plateau, Nyingchi reveals a softer side of Tibet. A milder climate, richer vegetation, and a vibrancy rarely seen in the harsher highlands. Snow-capped peaks still tower above, but beneath them lie dense forests, river canyons, and valleys alive with moisture and colour. It's the only part of Tibet where subtropical forests grow beneath alpine ridges, a rare ecological fusion found nowhere else on the plateau. And within this lush and dramatic terrain lies one of the most extraordinary natural features on Earth, the Yalung Tsangpo Grand Canyon, the deepest canyon on the planet. Here, the Himalayas tumble into rainforest and the land suddenly fractures. The Yalung Tsangpo River, which later becomes the Brahmaputra, cuts a violent path through sheer cliffs and dense jungle, carving a rift so deep and remote, it has earned a reputation as the world's last great uncharted gorge. With depths exceeding 5,300 metres, it plunges deeper than the Grand Canyon. Rainfall from the Indian monsoon fuels this region, creating a rare convergence of ecosystems. Alpine peaks wrapped in subtropical forest, mist clinging to ridgelines, and landslides constantly reshaping the slopes. At the heart of this canyon, the river makes a dramatic 180-degree bend around a towering sentinel, Namcha Barawa. Rising to 7,782 metres, it's the easternmost Himalayan peak, over 7,000 metres, and one of the least climbed. Known as the Shy Mountain, it's almost always veiled in cloud. In Tibetan tradition, it's sacred, a male deity called the Spear That Pierces the Sky, said to guard the entrance to Pemako, a hidden land of spiritual awakening. Locals believe only those with pure karma can glimpse its summit clearly. One of the best places to witness this elusive giant is from Sajila Pass, a winding road that climbs above the forest line. On rare, clear mornings, the clouds part, revealing Namcha Barawa rising above the horizon like a vision. Here, the material and spiritual worlds blur. Prayer flags line the mountain pass and trails. Blue for sky, white for air, red for fire, green for water, and yellow for earth. Their colours lifted by the wind like offerings to unseen forces. They remind travellers that this is no ordinary place. It's a sacred threshold between what is known and what lies beyond. And no visit to Ningxi is complete without witnessing one of its most fleeting wonders. Just downstream from the canyon, the atmosphere softens. In late March and early April, peach trees bloom across highland fields, painting the landscape in delicate pink against a backdrop of snow-capped peaks. It's surprising to see delicate flowers growing right next to a harsh, rugged mountain range. And that makes the scene feel even more magical. Locals call this the Peach Blossom Valley, and while the season is short, it's a time of quiet reverence. Families, pilgrims, and travellers come not only for the spectacle, but for the quiet beauty of renewal. The air is fresh, the light diffused, and everything feels suspended, as if nature pauses to honour this brief, perfect moment. High above, the silhouette of Namcha Barwa lingers, elusive yet ever-present. Watching over the valley like a guardian. In this part of Tibet, the path is not always obvious. But if you follow the blossoms, the river, and the prayer flags, you may find yourself somewhere between myth and reality. Leaving behind the forested valleys of Ningxi, the journey pushes west. Across high passes, vast plateaus, and shifting skies. The land rises and thins. Roads grow lonelier. Horizons widen, and the air settles into a stillness that feels ancient. Eventually, we reach the Ali region. One of the most remote and awe-inspiring corners of the Tibetan Plateau. Often called the roof of the roof of the world, Ali sits over 4,500 meters above sea level. This is the Third Poles Desert, a realm of wind-scoured plains, glacial lakes, and silence so deep it feels spiritual. Here, emptiness becomes presence, and every horizon stretches toward the infinite. Where the valley narrows and the horizon vanishes, the land transforms into something almost otherworldly. This is the Zhada Earth Forest. A labyrinth of jagged mudstone spires shaped by wind, water, and tectonic time. From a distance, it resembles a forgotten city, half swallowed by stone. This formation is the largest of its kind in Tibet, and perhaps the most surreal. Some towers stretch over 40 meters high, their shapes twisted like petrified flames. Local legends say these cliffs were once ancient palaces turned to stone. And when the setting sun casts long shadows across the valley, it's easy to believe something once lived here. As we move deeper into this maze of rock, the line between geology and history begins to blur. Caves appear in the cliffs. Crumbling staircases wind upward through the stone. This is where one of Tibet's greatest mysteries lingers, the ruins of the Guga Kingdom. The setting is cinematic. Red rock walls, staircases carved into the mountainside, and cave temples that open to murals still vivid after 1,000 years. Faint outlines of Buddhas and mandalas remain beside broken statues and prayer niches, telling quiet stories of devotion, strength, and collapse. No one knows exactly why Guga fell. Some say it was invaded and betrayed from within. Others believe it declined spiritually and was swallowed by the desert it once tamed. Today, it's eerily quiet, a city turned to dust, guarded by time and stone. As your eyes trace the contours of eroded walls and forgotten corridors, it's not hard to imagine what once stood here. A kingdom built on belief, now lost to silence. The Guga ruins, framed by the alien beauty of the Earth Forest, are not just relics of history. They're reminders that even the mightiest empires can vanish, leaving only whispers for the wind to carry. As the stone walls of Guga fade behind us, the journey continues. Across open plains and rising wind, signs of life grow scarce. The air thins. The silence deepens. Then, slowly, the signs return. Something is drawing them and us onward. All signs point in one direction. And rising from the plateau in near perfect symmetry, a mountain unlike any other begins to take shape. This is Mount Kailash. At 6,638 metres, it's not the tallest in the Himalayas, but for many, it's the most sacred. Tibetan, Buddhists, Hindus, Jains, and followers of Bon all see it as the centre of the universe, a place where the physical and spiritual worlds meet. Its four faces align with the cardinal directions, and from its slopes flow four great rivers, the Indus, Sutlej, Brahmaputra, and Karnali, as if the mountain breathed life into half of Asia. No one climbs Kailash. Not because it's impossible, but because it isn't meant to be climbed. Setting foot on its slopes is seen as a violation of the sacred. Instead, pilgrims walk around it, a tradition that has continued for centuries. This ritual, Kora or Xuanshan, lies at the heart of devotion. A 52-kilometre walk around the base is believed to cleanse the sins of a lifetime. To complete it 108 times is to move closer to enlightenment. The path crosses high passes, glacier-fed streams and windswept rock, always beneath the still gaze of the mountain. Along the way, prayer flags whip in the wind. Pilgrims pass with prayer wheels, chanting softly. Some fall into full-body prostrations, step by step, measuring the journey with their bodies. For them, each step is less about distance and more about meaning. Just south of Mount Kailash lies Lake Manasarovar, the most sacred lake in Asia, and a mirror to the divine. According to Hindu belief, the god Brahma first imagined this lake in his mind before it existed. To touch its waters is said to wash away the karma of countless lifetimes. For many pilgrims, the journey doesn't end at Kailash. After completing the mountain Kora, they begin a second, circling Manasarovar's vast shoreline, seeking not physical endurance, but inner stillness. During the full moon of Sagadawa, it's believed that deities descend to bathe in the lake, blessing the water and all who come near. Prayer flags flutter along its shores, winds whisper across the surface, and in that silence, something sacred lingers. In Ali, the land feels storied. But in Nachu, the story fades. What remains is exposure. Wind without shelter, cold without pause, space without end. At over 4,500 metres, the Chang Tung Plateau strips everything to its essence. And yet, life endures. Nomads trace ancient seasonal routes. Yak wool tents brace against the cold. Tibetan antelope flicker across the plains, then vanish. The beauty here isn't obvious, but if you stay long enough, it gets under your skin. Yet even in a land this harsh, moments of serenity emerge, vast, quiet, and luminous. At 4,718 metres above sea level, Namso shimmers like a mirror laid flat against the sky. One of the world's highest saltwater lakes, it's known in Tibetan belief as the Heavenly Lake, sacred and deeply connected to the nearby Mount Nyenchen Tangala. During the full moon of Sagadawa, pilgrims circle its shores seeking karmic cleansing. It's said the lake embodies the feminine element of water, balanced by the masculine presence of the mountains, a reflection of harmony between earth and spirit. On the lake's remote northwestern edge stands the Sacred Elephant Gate, a natural stone arch that reaches into the water like the trunk of a giant. Carved by time and wind, it's believed to be a portal between worlds. Hermits once meditated here in solitude, and even now the stillness lingers. From beneath the arch, one of Tibet's most revered views unfolds: holy peaks, wide sky, and the endless blue of Namtso. From the Sacred Elephant Gate, where time and belief shape stone into meaning, the journey pushes deeper into the wind-scoured highlands of Nachu. Here, the sacred isn't always marked by temples or prayer. Sometimes it simply rises from the land itself. Deep in the remote reaches of Bangwon County stands what locals call the Tree of Earth. A solitary rock formation shaped like a tree, emerging from barren ground. Some believe it's the spiritual navel of the plateau, a place where earth and sky quietly meet. Formed entirely by natural forces, its lifelike silhouette suggests something more. A symbol of balance and resilience in a place where little survives. In Tibetan cosmology, it's said to reflect the harmony of the four elements: earth, water, fire, and wind, held together like a natural mandala carved from silence. If you come this far, there are no shrines, no signs, only open sky and a wind-cut plain. And yet, standing before the Tree of Earth, it doesn't feel like a monument. It feels like presence, as if the land chose this shape to speak in silence. Nowhere else in Tibet or the world feels quite like this. North of Bangwon, the Chungtang Plateau opens into something almost beyond comprehension. The Changtang No Man's Land. Spanning over 600,000 square kilometres, it's one of the largest and most remote wildernesses on Earth. Vast, high, and brutally exposed. At altitudes above 5,000 metres, the air grows thin, the wind cuts deep, and temperatures drop below 40 degrees Celsius. The weather is unpredictable. Sun, snow, hail, and storm can all arrive in a single day. Tibet is said to experience four seasons in one day, and nowhere is that more true than here. Much of this region has never been permanently settled. The heart of Changtang remains off-limits, protected for its ecological fragility. There are no roads through the interior, no villages, no signs of human life, only wind and space stretching to the horizon. Still, the land is not empty. These animals aren't just surviving, they belong here in a way humans never could. In central Tibet, the landscape softens. Barley fields ripple under wide skies, and river valleys cradle ancient villages, a gentler rhythm compared to the stark extremes of the plateau. This is the Shigatse region, long known as the Granary of Tibet. Once the seat of the powerful Tsang dynasty, it stood as a proud rival to Lhasa, leaving behind fortresses, monasteries, and a legacy of regional power. Today, it remains a spiritual crossroads, a place where pilgrims pause before continuing westward towards Tibet's most sacred sites. At the heart of the region lies Shigatse City, a historic seat of power and pilgrimage. Towering above it is Tashil Humpo Monastery, founded in 1447 by the first Dalai Lama and later becoming the seat of the Panchen Lama, second only to the Dalai Lama in spiritual rank. Pilgrims walk the monastery's kora, a sacred circuit, spinning prayer wheels as they go. It's believed that each turn releases the merit of thousands of spoken prayers, a silent devotion carried by the wind, repeated with every step. From the spiritual calm of Shigatse, the road leads southeast, not far in distance, but into a place heavy with memory. Gyantse Dzong rises sharply above the Nyang River Valley, one of Tibet's best preserved hilltop fortresses. Once a watchful guardian of the route between Lhasa and Western Tibet, it's often called the Little Potala of the West. But this fortress has its own legacy. In 1904, it became the centre of fierce resistance during a British military expedition. Armed with little more than swords and old muskets, local defenders stood against modern artillery. The fortress walls still bear the impact, scorched stone, fractured ramparts, a quiet record of what took place here. Today, Gyantse Dzong stands quietly above the town. The battle is long past, yet the scars remain. At the foot of the fortress lies Palcho Monastery, home to the towering Gyantse Khumbum, Tibet's largest stupa. With 9 ascending tiers and 108 chapels, it forms a walkable mandala, guiding visitors through layers of symbolic enlightenment. This monastery is unique for another reason. It brings together three major traditions of Tibetan Buddhism: Gelug, Sakya, and Kagyu, within a single sacred space. It's a rare example of harmony, expressed not just in belief, but in the architecture and sacred imagery that fills its walls. Among its greatest treasures are the Thangka paintings, sacred scrolls depicting deities, mandalas, and spiritual teachings. More than art, Thangkas are visual scriptures. Every figure, every colour, every gesture holds meaning, offering a path to enlightenment through image rather than word. Creating a Thangka can take months or even years. The process is considered a form of meditation in itself. Guided by strict ritual, often accompanied by mantra recitation and deep spiritual focus. Leaving giants behind, the route heads into broader valleys and begins a steady ascent into higher terrain, leading somewhere extraordinary. The path to what comes next doesn't begin with a single step. It begins with 108. Hairpin turns etched into the mountainside like brushstrokes of devotion. Known as the 108 Bends, this dizzying stretch leads toward Gawula Pass. Perched over 5,000 metres above sea level. In Tibetan tradition, 108 is no ordinary number, it's sacred. Found in prayer beads, temple steps, and mandalas, it symbolizes spiritual completion. At the pass's highest point, the horizon unfolds. A wall of white giants emerges. Five of the world's tallest peaks standing shoulder to shoulder. The road unspools behind like a silver thread. Ahead, the Himalayas rise like a boundary between earth and sky. At the end of the long road, the land opens wide. Here, at over 5,000 metres, lies Rongbuk Base Camp. A stark plateau of rock and wind, where the mountain reveals her true scale. the air is thin, with oxygen levels nearly half of what they are at sea level. For climbers, this marks the beginning. For most, it's the furthest point they'll reach. A place to stand in silent awe. Though the summit is still over 20 kilometers away, Everest feels overwhelming even from here. Rising more than 8,800 meters, she dominates the horizon, immense, unshakable, and always present. Just below, Rongbuk Monastery stands in the shadow of Everest, a final threshold between the human world and something far greater. From this vantage, it's easy to understand why Tibetans call her Chomo Longma, the goddess mother of the world. Not far from Everest, the landscape softens. Snow and rock give way to quiet fields of green and gold. At over 4,000 metres, Tingri's farmlands are among the highest on Earth. Barley and potatoes grow in scattered plots. Yaks pull wooden ploughs through the soil, just as they have for generations. The environment is harsh, thin air, short seasons, but the land endures through routine and care. Everest looms above, but life here moves in quiet balance. The Shannon region is where Tibetan civilization began, a place where myth and history intertwine. In the broad Yalung Valley, barley fields sway beside ancient royal tombs. And cliff carvings that mark the rise of Tibet as a kingdom. Many of Tibet's foundational cultural and spiritual milestones trace back to this land, from the birth of monarchy to the arrival of Buddhism. Above it all stands Yumbulagung Palace, said to be Tibet's first building. Built for Nyatri Tenpo, the legendary first king, it overlooks what locals call the first cultivated fields, a meeting point of royalty, earth, and divinity. Later transformed into a temple by Songtsen Gampo, Yumbulagung reflects Tibet's shift from ancient kingship to Buddhist devotion. Though small in scale, its legacy looms large in Tibetan history. Around the same time the Tibetan script was created in the 7th century, not for everyday speech, but to translate sacred texts from Sanskrit, marking a defining moment in Tibetan cultural identity. Across the land, these early threads of faith and identity wove themselves into the landscape. And few places embody this more than Yamdrok Lake, a vast still mirror cradled by snow-capped peaks and sunlit grasslands. Tibetans describe it as a mirror of the sky resting on the chest of the earth, and standing before it, it's easy to understand why. Often called the turquoise heart of Tibet, it is one of the region's three holiest lakes, sacred in both legend and presence. Viewed from above, its shape resembles a twisting scorpion, a symbol of hidden strength and divine protection. Near the centre of one peninsula, a heart-shaped pond sometimes appears, a signature left by nature, visible only under the right light and conditions. Locals believe the lake is the transformation of a goddess, and that its vitality is tied to the survival of Tibet itself. If Yamdrok were ever to dry up, the land would no longer be habitable. Over centuries, it has drawn pilgrims, hermits, and oracles to its shores, many of whom spent years in retreat within nearby monasteries and caves, meditating beside what they believed was a source of deep spiritual energy. Tucked into a cliffside in Linzhou County, Siling Monastery is often called Tibet's Hanging Monastery. From a distance, it seems to defy gravity, a small structure clinging to bare rock high above the valley floor. Getting there isn't easy. A narrow footpath and steep steps are carved directly into the cliff, turning the journey itself into a quiet act of focus and intention. Originally a retreat for solitary monks, it later grew into a small monastery for the Nyingma Ma tradition. The rooms feel more like natural caves than constructed halls, simple spaces for meditation, silence, and being far from the world below. From the ledge, the view opens wide, dense forests, deep ravines, and far-off snowy peaks. From this height, everything feels quieter. Locals say prayers offered here rise more easily, carried by the wind and the mountain itself. Founded in 1409 by Tsongkhapa, Ganden Monastery is a major centre of Tibetan Buddhism. Before reaching its golden roofs, the road climbs through sharp switchbacks along a bare ridge, wrapping the mountain like a thread. Perched at over 4,300 metres, Ganden feels more like a landing between worlds. Where sky, mountain, and spirit meet. At its heart lies Tsongkhapa's silver and gold tomb stupa, encircled by pilgrims and prayer flags fluttering along the dramatic Ganden Kora. Though damaged during the Cultural Revolution, Ganden was rebuilt by the hands of returning monks and still carries centuries of devotion. Both cliffside monasteries like Ganden and Siling belong to the same region, the cultural heartland where Tibetan identity was shaped. Tibet's spiritual capital is found here, and for many pilgrims, it's the destination of a lifetime. At 3,650 metres above sea level, Lhasa is one of the highest cities in the world and has remained the cultural and religious centre of Tibet for over 1,000 years. The name Lhasa means place of the gods, and it draws pilgrims from across the plateau. Some beginning as far away as Chamdo, following the long path of National Highway 318. Prostrating themselves for thousands of kilometres, measuring each step with their body to reach this holy city. The Barkhor Circuit, which encircles Jokhang Temple, becomes a living river of devotion. Prayer wheels spinning, mantras whispered, incense drifting through the mountain air. Built in the 7th century, Jokhang is considered the most sacred temple in Tibet, the very heart of Tibetan Buddhism. Inside lies the Jowo Shakyamuni, Tibet's most sacred statue, believed to depict the Buddha himself, and to have been blessed by him during his lifetime, later brought to Tibet by Princess Wencheng. For many, a lifetime of prayer culminates in a single glimpse of its golden gaze. Dominating the skyline of Lhasa, the Potala Palace is Tibet's most iconic landmark. A 13-story structure with over 1,000 rooms, built like a fortress of faith. Once the winter residence of the Dalai Lamas, it stood as the political and spiritual heart of Tibetan leadership for centuries. The Red Palace houses sacred scriptures, relics, and the gold-adorned stupas of past Dalai Lamas. The White Palace once held the seat of governance, where spiritual insight and temporal power converged under one roof. Every stairway and chamber holds centuries of devotion, a layered memory of chants, incense, and silent reverence. Despite the world shifting around it, the Potala remains unmoved, a monument not only to history, but to the enduring strength of belief. At sunrise, its silhouette emerges through the mountain mist, not as a relic, but as a living symbol. Here, above the city, you're reminded that in Tibet, tradition doesn't fade. It continues, quietly, faithfully, and always upward. Discover the world, explore the extraordinary. See you in the next adventure.